Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
Ishmael Fuentes Martinez.
Okay, let me get you, hold on for just one moment. The Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse will be conducting your hearing, but I want to see if I can get your wife on the telephone, sir. So just hold on and see if that will work, and then we'll be ready to go. Yes, may I speak to Ms. Jessica Martinez, please? Okay, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. It's our understanding that you wish to participate in the hearing for your husband today. Am I correct?
Yes, please.
Okay, if you hold on, the hearing will start very shortly. As I indicated, Mr. Martinez, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse will be conducting your hearing. Therefore, the next voice you hear should be heard, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Martinez. Can you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
It's Ishmael Fuentes Martinez, 167-853.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the two allegations on your warrant of arrest. And you should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing. It looks like information we have says you signed that form on November 22nd. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And on that form are your hearing rights. And one of those rights is you can hire an attorney at your expense. I don't see an attorney with you there. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm just representing myself today.
Okay, that's fine. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing. If you look at the far end of the bench from me, you'll see the Honorable David Neal, and right next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right in the middle of the bench is our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Right next to me here is the Honorable Luis Quinones, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today for this hearing. Also with us in the room is the Honorable Mr. Michael Osborne, and he is a community corrections officer with the Department of Corrections, so he's representing both the department and your parole officer today.
Okay.
So we also have on the phone Ms. Jessica Martinez, is that correct? And she will also be participating in your hearing today. So I need to, before we get started, I need to swear all three of you in. So, Mr. Martinez, Ms. Martinez on the phone, and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
Ms. Martinez?
Yes.
Okay.
Ma'am, I do, and the officer will want to be contacted as part of testimony.
Okay, so we need to get one more person on the phone as well?
What's his phone number?
It is Pio Shelley Borrego. And the office number is 602-771-5533.
Okay, so if everyone could just hold on, we'll get one more person on the phone.
Miss, would you just hold on a minute? We're going to be putting someone else on the phone, so please hold on.
All right, thank you.
Yes, the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, it's our understanding that you wish to participate in the parole hearing today, or revocation hearing for Mr. Martinez. Am I correct?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, if you could just hold on, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse is conducting the hearing.
Okay,
Ms. Borrego, we just
one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's got two.
Ms. Martinez, are you still on the line?
Yes.
Okay, and parole officer, you still on the line?
I am, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Okay, thank you, Mr. Johnson and Dr. Wright. The phone fairies there. You took care of that. Thank you. So Ms. Borrego, I just have sworn in the other three people participating, so if I can swear you in, please. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
Thank you so much. All right. So this hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if Mr. Martinez, if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Martinez, I'm going to read information from your warrant, and as I read each one of these two allegations to you, I need you to respond whether it's true or false. If you believe it's false, we'll take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it further. And then the board will make the final determination as to whether you violated your conditions. So do you understand what I just explained?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we'll start with phase one then of your hearing. And Mr. Martinez, the first allegation is that you violated the conditions of supervision and had lapsed or were probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by violation of condition number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior on or about October 22nd, 2017, while at 7124 West Pearson Street, Phoenix, Arizona. And Mr. Martinez, I also see that there's a DR number associated, which means there is some kind of pending criminal justice action. So what I'd like to do, just to protect your rights, these hearings are recorded, and instead of just telling whether it's true or false, I also want to give you the option to take the fifth and remain silent in case if there was any further court action pending, this hearing could be subpoenaed. So in the case of that allegation concerning physically assaultive behavior on or about October 22nd, is that true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
I'm going to say that it's false.
Okay, that's fine. And then here is allegation number 2, and that is a violation of condition number 7 as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about October 22nd, 2017, per your verbal admission on October 23rd, 2017. So, Mr. Martinez, is that one true, false, or do you want to remain silent, although it looks like you have previously verbally admitted?
Yeah, it's true.
That's true, okay. All right, well, Mr. Martinez, on allegation number 1, we're going to take some additional testimony now from Mr. Osborne with the Department of Corrections. So, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. Allegation number 1. According to the Phoenix Police Department, on October 22nd, 2017, offender Martinez, ADC number 167853, damaged a vehicle belonging to his wife and victim, Jessica Martinez, after he threw knives and beer cans at the vehicle. The victim said that the offender, Martinez, failed to return home from his mother's residence on October 20th, 2017. On October 22nd, 2017, she drove to his mother's residence located at 7124 West Pearson Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85033, to have a conversation with offender Martinez. A verbal argument started between them and the victim left, but she returned shortly after with a box of items sentimental to their relationship, which she left in the front yard. At this point, the offender engaged in physically assaulted behavior by throwing knives and beer cans at the victim while she was in her vehicle. Follow-up, Phoenix PD observed damage on the right side of the victim's vehicle. On October 23rd, 2017, the victim obtained an order of protection against offender Martinez.
All right, Mr. Martinez, again, this may be the source of this DR number, but do you have any other comments about this allegation?
No, all I have to say is that the knife situation, the beer cans, I did not throw at her.
Okay.
And the fire, I don't know if you guys received a letter from me with the police report that my mom put on my wife.
Yes, we did. We did. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Martinez, yeah, in order to move this hearing forward, just kind of based on where we are and the fact there's a pending VR number, potentially, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion based on information and warrant number 2017W3595. Mr. Martinez's admission for allegation number 2 and information provided by Mr. Osborne of the Department of Corrections on allegation number 1. I'm going to move move to find Mr. Martinez delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, thank you. Hold on just a second, Mr. Martinez. I need to mark some things on paperwork. Okay. So, Mr. Martinez, we can now move to phase 2 of your hearing, and this is the time when you'll have an opportunity to explain things, anything you want to explain to the board. And we determine then if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we move on, Mr. Osborne will just give us some general background information so we can get to know you a little bit. So just remain on the line, and we'll be right back with you. Mr. Osborne.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Mr. Martinez was released from DOC custody on October 20th of 2017. He was arrested on October 23rd of 2017 at the Western Regional Office on his tech violation and was returned back to custody that same day. Was 0 abscond days with a community supervision end date of December 21st, 2018. During conviction, 2012, promoting prison contraband 1 year. Prior convictions, 2002, aggravated robbery, 2 years, 6 months. 2002, aggravated robbery, 2 years, 6 months. 2005, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. And 2009, aggravated assault, 8 years. He's had 3 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4.4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is STG and gang information noted that on December 21st of 2005, Martinez stated that he used to be a member of the criminal street gang at Westside Hollywood Barrio out of Phoenix. Prior terms of supervision, 2004, GIS completion 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2007, TIS absconder 140 days, returned to custody and revoked. He has a significant disciplinary history with multiple thefts, drug possessions, rioting, and criminal damage notice. Other arrests, 2008, theft of means of transportation, AZ, felony conviction, probation. And 2009, aggravated assault, AZ, felony conviction, probation. And he has a community risk score of G8B9. And I do have status of charges for supervising for Officer Chris Ramirez, dated Monday, November 20th of 2017. He stated no new charges were filed.
Okay, thank you. So that answers the question on the charges. All right, so back to you, Mr. Martinez. Just looking at your supervision summary from when you were on parole, it looks like you were originally released homeless, but then at initial intake, you were approved to live with your wife, Ms. Martinez, at 3829 West Solano Drive South in Phoenix. But that on October 20th, your wife stated that you were not living there. And you called on the 23rd, you contacted your parole officer, Ms. Borrego, and said that you have a new address of 7124 West Pearson with your mother. So did you then stay with your mother that whole time instead of your wife?
Yes.
So from the time you were released then, October 20th, you were at your mother's?
Yes.
Okay. All right, were you working at all?
No, it was only out Saturday and Sunday. Monday, I reported in, and they violated me.
Okay, so it was just the 2 days. Okay, sorry, I guess I could have noticed that. And you were also assigned to submit UAs for tests, but of course, same thing, you were only out those couple days. But you did admit that you consumed some alcohol on 10/22, October 22nd. And you were, they were getting ready to refer you to programming, but you were back so quickly that that couldn't be done. So, Mr. Martinez, were you going to, what kind of work do you do? What do you do?
I work whatever I can, whatever there is, I'll work.
Okay, so kind of, you said warehouse work or?
Any job I can get, I'll do it.
Okay, I'm just curious if you, what kind of experience you have, work experience. Okay, and let's see, did you contact, you did check in then with your parole officer, you did an intake, signed your conditions.
Yes.
Did you note on your conditions that you were not supposed to be drinking alcohol?
Yes, and that's why I admitted to my PO that I did drink that beer that day. I admitted it, you know, I'm taking full responsibility for it. And that is why I was truthful with my PO.
Okay.
When I reported in.
And since there are no charges filed, what actually happened that day that there's this incident that we have a police report?
Well, you know, sorry, me and my wife just had a argument between, you know, husband and wife, and things just got out of hand, and you know, I mean, she said this, and I mean, it was just an all misunderstanding.
Okay. What was the argument about? What started it?
Me leaving the residence and going to my mom's house.
Okay, so she wanted you to stay with her.
Yeah, it was just we were arguing, and I was only out of prison for a couple hours, and I didn't want to fight with her. And I just thought, I'll let things cool down, and I'll go to my mom's house.
Okay. So the
no, I was.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I wasn't planning on changing my address. It was just instead of everything cooling down, it just started getting worse and worse. And that's when I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and change my address. That's why I called my PO and gave her my new address.
Okay. It's the information that was provided by Mr. Osborne says that the Phoenix PD observed damage on the right side of the victim's vehicle. How do you think that got there?
I don't know. The police never came and talked to me or anything, so I don't know what happened there.
Okay. All right, Mr. Martinez, I noticed that you have a couple of incidents of aggravated assault in your past. You just can't speak today. What programming have you taken about that?
I've taken a lot of classes since I've been in prison, you know, anger management.
So you've taken anger management inside of prison?
Yeah.
What else? What other classes have you taken?
Substance abuse.
Okay.
Alcohol Anonymous.
Okay, so you go to AA meetings?
Yeah.
Do you go to that regularly? When was the last time you went?
I just got a certificate not too long ago before I was released.
Okay, so before release you got a certificate. Okay.
Yeah, probably about a year and a half ago.
Okay. All right. Mr. Martinez, I'm going to, we've got your wife and your parole officer on the phone, so I'm going to see if they have anything they'd like to tell the board. All right. Ms. Martinez?
Yes.
Are you there? What would you like to tell the board?
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Is there anything you'd like to share with the board?
Well, when my husband was released from DOC. I was expecting him to, you know, obviously come home and, you know, reside with me so that we could start off on the right foot as a family and he could get his, you know, things in order and, you know, do good on parole and complete all of his programming and start working. But the way he was behaving, his attitude, and I just didn't see, you know, him wanting that. He kind of just threw that in the trash and wanted to be with his, you know, his mom the first night, the second night, the third night. And I figured, well, he's not going to come home. He's not going to do what he is supposed to do. And I tried to bring him back home and tell him to do what he has to do. He's made himself into trouble and he didn't want to hear it. So,
okay. Ms. Martinez,
you know, that it led up to.
Go ahead.
To, you know, him lashing out at me. So, I mean, I was expecting him to take, you know, his parole as a priority, and I don't think he did that with it.
Okay. Ms. Martinez, how long have you two been married?
A year and 4 months.
Okay. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Questions for Ms. Martinez? Okay. Anything else, Ms. Martinez?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Thanks so much for providing that information. Ms. Borrego?
Yes.
What did you want to contribute to this hearing? What would you like us to know?
Well, it was just unfortunate how things unfolded. I mean, he was returned back to custody within, well, it was like 3 days here. He got out homeless, released homeless, and when he did an intake, which was not with me, it was with an intake officer, he never expressed any concern or issues with going home with Ms. Jessica Martinez's wife. So that right there should have been addressed right off the bat. We could have rectified the situation at day one. The fact that he decided to go home with her, signed conditions, saying he wouldn't change his residence, and then proceeded to change his residence over the weekend. Yes, he did call the following Monday, letting me know the address he was at. But it's still a violation for changing residence, because he needed to provide that address to me before making that actual move, which he didn't do. It was my understanding, which an investigation never followed, just because time didn't allow it, but it was brought to my attention that the mom, his mother had someone living there that was on either probation and or parole, which could have also been, could have ended up in a denial of not being able to stay there. So that's just something that needed to be handled in the parole office, but unfortunately they ran into the police contact on Sunday and we weren't ever able to address that. So.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Borrego. Any questions for Mr. Quinones?
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Ms. Borrego?
Yes.
Did he report his police contact with you on that Monday, or was he in custody when he called?
No, he did not. He called from, I guess he was at his mom's, actually. Called giving me a new address. I found out about the police contact from Jessica.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Thank you again, Ms. Borrego. Back to you, Mr. Martinez. I have one question for you, and then I'm going to see if my fellow board members have a question for you. Why did you, presumably you asked to be released homeless? Why were you released homeless when you had a wife and a potentially a mother to go live with? Why?
Well, they never came and asked me if I had ashes to go home. They never, I guess they just never came and asked me for an address. So when I was released, I went to the parole office, and then that's when I just gave my address because I told them I wasn't homeless. I had an address. And I gave my wife's address because that's where I wanted to stay, and that's where I love my wife, and it's just, we were just arguing, that's all.
So did you
fight?
Did you go there to your house? Did you go there?
Yeah, I went home to my wife's house.
Okay.
I went there. I changed. We went out to eat. And we were...
Okay. And then there was the argument.
Yeah, the argument came later on, like at 6:30, 7 in the evening.
Okay.
From the time I got out until 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening, we were together, me and her and the kids.
Okay, and how many kids do you have?
We have two.
Two kids, okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Anyone have a question? No? Mr. Johnson?
So you were only out for a couple hours before all of this happened. I'm trying to understand what could have set off that type of argument that you're only out 2 hours before this whole incident occurred, and it appears that for you to be approved to stay at your wife's house, that there had to be some communication or knowledge going on prior to that, sir.
It just started when we went to my mom's house, and I didn't want to leave. That's it. It was just not that I didn't want to leave. It's just I wanted to spend time with my mom, and I wasn't ready to go back to her house yet. That's all. That's where it all started.
Okay.
It was something dumb, that's it, stupid, and it just escalated.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get Mr. Quinones first. And
thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Martinez?
Yes.
Did you have a plan between you and your spouse that you were returning to your family when you were leaving from the correction system?
Yes, I did.
He's
in the yard.
Ma'am, just hold one second. And I do respect what you have to offer, but I need to complete my discussion with Mr. Martinez. So go ahead, sir.
Yes, I did have a plan. I still do have a plan. When I got out, I wanted to go home, and that home is what was her. But it was just, we just got in a fight because I wanted to see my mom. That's all. Just wanted to see my mom, spend time with my mom, and it just escalated.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez.
Mr. Martinez, had you communicated your plan to your wife that you wanted to go and stay with her? Did you tell her that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we talked about it.
Okay. Mr. Neal, did you have your hand up?
Yes.
Mr. Neal.
Sir, apparently your wife got an order of protection after the, the next day after the police were called. Were you served with that order of protection?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Yes.
All right. So you do realize that if we were to release you now, that you could have no contact with your wife, and depending on whether she included the children as on the order of protection, you might not even be able to see your children at that point. You're aware of that?
Yes.
Okay, so unless she would do something to have it quashed, you wouldn't have the option of going anywhere close to her. Like I said, depending on whether she included the children on there or not on there. But so this started out, you were just arguing, and then now you're saying that it's all about the fact you want to spend some time with your mother. So after spending 2 hours at home with your wife and children, you want to go see your mother, and that's what the argument was about?
Well, I spent more than 2 hours with my wife. I spent time with her since 10 in the morning till 6:30 in the evening, and then we went to my mother's house.
Okay, you say we, did she and or your children go with you when you went to your mother's house? Or were you by yourself?
No. The four of us went.
Okay, so she went with you to your mother's house?
Yes.
And then well, okay, was that before or after the argument?
Oh, this is when the argument happened, when we went to my mother's house.
No, we went to your mom together.
Ms. Martinez, Ms. Martinez, you need to remain silent, please, while we're talking with Mr. Martinez, and then we'll come back to you.
All right.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Martinez.
Well, we spent time, me, her, and the kids spent time, and then we went to my mother's house where my mother ordered pizza, and we all four ate at my mother's house, and then she wanted to leave within 20 minutes, and I didn't want to leave.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to note that these, being on parole, this is not his first time. Programs are set forth 6 to 7 months before you are released. A lot of times people will withhold information, hope to get out homeless, and then get to the parole office and do where they want to go. After the parole officer Brego stated that someone was at his mother's house that was on probation or parole, that she found out afterwards. That's why I believe his mother's house was never identified. That's why he came out homeless. So I just wanted to note that, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay. That makes sense now. That makes a little sense. Okay. Ms. Martinez on the phone. You had one more thing to add.
Yeah, well, he never, when he left the house, after we left his mom's house, we were with her more than 20 minutes. We were with her for a good 2 solid hours and then returned home. And the argument started because he wanted to use the cell phone. And he used the cell phone, and, you know, that was fine. But then he started accusing our little one that I better not be sending him out there to spy on him when he's on the phone. So it was something stupid, but it was him trying to, you know, leave. And he did. He took off. He threw my house keys at me, and he said, oh, he was going to his mom's, and that's the last I heard from him. He didn't tell me, you know, what he was intending to do. I called several times on Saturday. He never picked up the phone. Nobody communicated with me, not his mom, not his brother, not him. I had no idea what was going on with him or where he was even at. So, you know, what am I supposed to do?
All right. Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Mr. Martinez, unless board members have any further questions, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Anything you'd like the board to know, but if you'd please not repeat something you've already told us.
Yeah, I just want to say that I made a mistake. You know what I mean? I'm taking full responsibility, and all I'm asking is for help. You know what I mean? I don't believe I should be back here in prison. I've done my time, 8 years, and I haven't had a chance to go out there and do anything. I was only out there for 2 days, and I made a mistake, and, you know, I just trying to better myself, and I hope you guys reinstate me and give me another chance.
Okay, and both Mr. Martinez and Ms. Martinez, I just want to remind you of what Mr. Neal said, and that is because of this incident, there will not be able to be any contact between you and your wife, the two of you, and depending if the children are on the order of protection, them either, until the sentence is finished. That's December 21st of 2018. So there won't be able to be any contact if you're released. Just want to make sure you both understand that, because that would be a violation and you'd return to prison. So, all right, Mr. Martinez, okay. And Ms. Martinez as well.
I understand.
Okay, thank you. So the board is going to go into discussion now, Mr. Martinez, and we do all of our discussions under Arizona's open meeting law, so we've not talked about your case before right now. So it might sound like we're talking to you, or it might sound like we're talking to you, Ms. Martinez, on the phone, but we're not. We're talking among ourselves. So we just ask you both to remain silent. You can remain on the phone, and we'll be back with you shortly with a determination. So the board is now in discussion. This is a very unfortunate situation. Through discussion, a lot has become a little more clear to me that was not clear upon first reading this. It appears that the unfortunate incident kind of centers around poor communication, husband-wife communication, possibly son and mother communication, but that is one of the facts of life. Mr. Martinez and Ms. Martinez have only been married a year, almost a year and a half, so not very long time. Mr. Martinez admits that he consumed alcohol, which may have escalated the situation. He does have a prior term of community supervision during which he absconded. So he absconded before while on supervision, and this time consumed alcohol while on supervision, both obviously violations. And then we have the additional problem of him, if we did choose to release him, he would not be able to have any contact with his wife or children. Personally, I think that would be very difficult for him. So I am at this point not seeing him as a good candidate for community supervision, but I would listen to any of my fellow board's input. Thank you, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I agree, and I believe that based on the info that we've gathered, Mr. Martinez is not committed to conform to the conditions of the lease.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, thank you. Then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that's based on the major points of Warrant 2017W3595, our discussion with Mr. Martinez, our discussion with Ms. Martinez on the phone, information from his parole officer, Ms. Borrego, information from Mr. Osborne here in the room. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Martinez was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by consuming alcohol while he was on supervision and potentially being involved in some kind of a confrontation, that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Thank you. All right. So, Mr. Martinez, you heard the board's discussion. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision. I think it would be very difficult for you to go a full year without any contact with, and that means any contact. That means not phone, not seeing, not driving past, nothing. I think that would be very difficult for you. And we learned through discussion that there may be somebody at your mother's house that you could not have contact with that person either. So you may not have a place to live for that year. We understand it's a difficult situation, but in the board's view, the best solution to this is to have you remain where you are and complete your sentence. I hope you're able to take advantage of some more programming there, particularly substance abuse, and if you can find other, I think they're doing Thinking for a Change, some other programming like that can help you examine your own thinking patterns, that would help you ultimately when you're released. So thank you so much for participating in your hearing today. Thank you, Ms. Borrego and Ms. Martinez. And this concludes your hearing now, Mr. Martinez. Thank you so much. And if you'd give the phone back to your secretary there. Thank you.
All right.